Macca's Little Wins app.
Triple M rocks footy. This is the Sunday Rub.
Fareem hot water heaters. If your hot water needs replacing, accept nothing less than Australia's best. Install a Ream.
Sunday afternoon at the MCG, big game today. Richmond home game taking on the Cats, and we're going to be all over at 3:20 start today on Triple M Football. A lot to get through. Paul Ruse shortly. Grant Birchall will join us from Hawthorn. Of course, a big win over the Kangaroos yesterday. Luke Shuey, last-second win, West Coast over GWS. And Matty Scarlett, one of the assistant coaches at Geelong, closer to game time, will also join us. We've got a lot to discuss today. Wayne Swass is with us. Wayne Carey is here. JZJ Clark is with us. And, of course, Joey Montagna, fresh from last night's game, is also joining us as a almost a regular now on Sunday afternoon. Good afternoon, Swatter.
Oh, afternoon, Brian. Looking forward to today, and pretty impressed. Went and saw the Swans-Sydney St Kilda game last night just as a fan with one of my kids, and great first half, but geez, are impressive in the second half, Sydney.
It was one of the better first halves I've seen for a while, Duck.
Yeah, didn't see it. But
still over your footy.
I actually did Friday night footy and watched a game live yesterday here at the MCG BT. I'm here again today, so I just figured maybe have a night off watching footy. So I didn't see much of it,
but college lawn.
From what I've led to believe, it was a cracking game of footy. And isn't Melbourne turning on the beautiful winter mornings at the moment? It's just glorious. Get down there to the tan and
Duck's gone with the old weather. He's got a full deck today. Joey Montagna, we welcome you.
Yeah, thanks, guys. And it was certainly one of the most frenetic games of first half anyway that I've played certainly this year. And unfortunately, the Swans are premiership contender, flex their muscle in the second half, and we couldn't sustain it. So disappointing, but it was a great first half.
What happened, Jay-Z? Jump in when you're ready, mate.
He's up and about today. He's in a lot better mood today than he was last week.
Grumpy Brian.
In the third quarter when Buddy just he just ripped it open, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. A bit of change of tactics. He went up the ground and got a bit higher, and I think he had 15 possessions in the quarter, and their midfielders were spitting all over the place, and we lost a bit of structure, and they just hunted the footy harder, and we couldn't sustain it, and disappointing in the end.
Joey, good morning to you. Good morning to everyone. Brian, what is...
afternoon now.
It's a good afternoon. Well, yeah. Joey, what does Buddy's man do in that situation? So when the St Kilda defender is on Buddy in the forward line, he goes up to the midfield. What's the direction to his man? Do you sit back? Do you go with him? What the hell do you do?
Yeah, and then that's the tough situation. And that's why Buddy is so dangerous, because do you go up and play with him in the midfield and then worry about him beating you back towards goal side, or do you sit off him?
But didn't you in the first half have a high man for Buddy and a deep man for Buddy?
Yes. No, yeah, we did in the first half. I think Sam Fisher got injured, so he went off. He hurt himself. So then we had to put Sam Gilbert onto Buddy for the whole half. And we know he's outside. Buddy's 115 kilos and Sam Gilbert's in the 90. So
And then all hell broke loose.
His eyes would have lit up, Buddy, with Gilbo coming his way.
So, Swatty, do you now see... that's the first time I've seen Sydney alive for a little while. Do you now see them differently? And as they're consolidated second position on the ladder, is that where they're going to finish? Are they that good?
Look, I think they're a good team. I think they're a legitimate threat to Hawthorn. I mean, we called the Hawthorn game yesterday. Their opening term was outstanding. The reality is that Sydney need to prove that they are capable of winning, but that second half of footy last night was outstanding. And a thing as a supporter watching last night, Joey, that I admired greatly was their ability through heavy traffic to, in most cases, find a handball target. It's a skill in itself, and I mean, you know this. You do a lot of that game simulation.
Bulldogs are good at that.
Through heavy traffic and a lot of congestion, they always seem to find a handball target.
Yeah, it's now one of the biggest things being trained at footy clubs, the hands program, and it's basically being able to get a clean, effective handball away in that pressure. No longer do teams. Some teams still quick kick, but that's basically gone out of football now. You need to be able to flick the ball around by hands to break the game open.
And the good clubs that do it give it to a player under less pressure than they are. The bad clubs that do it give it to a player under more pressure than they are. They give those forward handballs, which are just junk, to get yourself out of trouble and put someone else in more.
In the last 2 years, Joe, is that the biggest evolution change in the game, do you think? The quick hands?
Yeah, absolutely. The hands program. Being able to free your arms up, give away, as Duck said, handballs to players in space or that can break away from the congestion and use the ball. And the Swans do it as well. I mean, we know how good Joey Kenny's, but even Hanbury and Parker and Kieran, how good they are with their hands, it sets up their game.
And if you can draw two tacklers, then that frees up the other bloke in that congestion. That's the key, to have that strength to be able to do that. And they're big bodies.
Yeah, they're huge.
They're big bodies. So they do draw two, one, two, three four times a lady swatter tackles.
Nate, well, so Nate
weather
Smith
in a song.
And then Curvis. Once. If Sinclair and Tippett are ready to play, do you play them over Nan Curvis and Naismith?
Well, you probably if he's
Tippett and Sinclair.
He has done all of the training bar playing, Kurt Tippett. So I would suggest that if he's ready to go, you bring him back next week, give him a second game because they've got the bye. So he can afford to manage the number of minutes. You need Kurt Tippett in the Sydney Swans team is a really important player, given
so
what
Kurt
he's been
Tippett
able to do.
Better than either of those guys in the Swans team.
I think so. Because he can ruck. He's a ruckman who goes forward now.
Well, he's a ruckman. He's a ruckman that drifts forward. That's his position now.
Geez, they've also got a beauty. He's only played a handful of games. Alia, given the few amount of games he's played, his decision-making, his footy IQ, his ability to leave his man is outstanding.
You hit the nail on the head. The time I watched him play live, and it was a real pressure game, and he looked calmer than some of the blokes that have played 200 games. Looks like he's got a cool head on his shoulders.
And he's a cult hero already. The crowd, every time.
They nuts,
the crowd, I was sitting there going, geez, every time he touched the ball, the crowd were loving him. So
amazing story. I think he grew up in a Egyptian refugee camp, if I'm right. I'll have to correct the details, but his upbringing through some pretty crazy stuff, very different to what we probably grew up with, and you take your hat off to him, really. So Joey, the Swans, are they the top weight for you now? Are they the best side you've played? Do you think they're best placed, or which horse you're backing from here?
I've said all year that Sydney and Hawthorn are still just, if you had to put your hard-earned dollars on any two teams, you're going for the tried and true, aren't you? You're still thinking Sydney and Hawthorn will be there when the whips are cracking. You can trust them. You know they know how to win. So they're probably still the two. For me. And probably, the Swans or, grand final day, anything can happen, but Swans and Hawthorn certainly.
Just interesting watching last night too, Joey. Picked up on Nick Griewoldt, and you probably fall into this category a little bit as well, but you know, he's won everything in footy, hasn't he? You know, he's won how many best and fairest? Four or five?
Six
best and fairest. Six best and fairest, all Australian. He's done it all. I mean, how many more times does he need to accumulate things like that to prove to people that he's a bona fide superstar of the competition? I reckon he looks like he's playing for different reasons. He looks like he's not worried about that side of things anymore. It's more about coaching the team, you know, doing the... Not that he never did the team thing, but he was an outright superstar himself. I think he's more of a team man now than he's ever been. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, you're spot on. Nick's greatest strength as a player and why he's been so good is because he's been so single-minded, focused, and he's on his performance. And now as he's... and I think it's a bit come to do with a lot of things, you know, with his sister and with having a young family and getting a bit older. He's just evolved as a person and a footballer. He's very much open-minded now, and he is trying to work really hard with the kids and just wants the club to be in a good place when he finishes up. So that's where his focus is at now, and I think he's doing a terrific job.
All right, we've got plenty to come. Paul Roos is going to join us very, very shortly. Just before we go to the break and Paul Roos, just tell me what took your fancy out of the weekend round of football so far, Wayne Carey.
I love Friday night's game. I thought it was a ripper. Bulldogs, once again, they just won't be denied. And I said this on Friday night, BT, if you were to buy a membership of any team that you just knew what you were going to get when you roll up, you'd be buying one for the Bulldogs. I know we can sit... I just wish they had all of their players to pick from, because if they did, I think that'd be
genuine
right
challenger
up there for
opening quarter of yesterday's Hawthorn game against the Kangaroos. They got bored in the second and third quarter, but the opening term, an 8-goal-1 quarter Hawthorn,
and
were outstanding.
An incredible quote from one of our leading special comments guys, Spud Frawley, to go with it.
Oh, well, late into the opening term, the score was 7-3. Duck was here, 7-3 to no score. I repeat that, 7-3 to no score.
Hawthorn,
comfortably in control. Kangaroos on the mat.
No score.
Spud went into Chew Man and said, Chew, would this be the Kangaroos' lowest score this year?
Jay-Z, what's caught your eye?
Travis Cloak yesterday in the VFL.
Got to talk about that in a minute.
Big issue there brewing. Last 48 hours, it's moved.
Joey?
Look, I hate seeing teams really struggle, so I was glad for Brisbane to win. I don't like when clubs are in that situation, so I'm happy for the Brisbane fans and the players that they had a win, because I know how demoralising it can be at a club when you lose week in, week out.
Why are you so excited about that?
Because I tipped Brisbane. I'll tell you why.
You're not allowed to bet.
I didn't bet. I said I tipped them.
Oh, lucky.
Right. Now, listen. The reason why, if you as a sports person, not an, you say, okay, we play a team sport, but also as an individual, if you get caned and belittled the way they did that week and you don't respond, then there's something wrong. So I just thought the fact that, you know, they had all of this criticism, there was only one thing they were going to do and they were going to respond, and they did. And I was very happy. And I did have my theory that 24 degrees in Brisbane and it might be too hot for Carlton, but I think they acclimatised quite well and they came home.
Chess is out early today, Brian.
Oh, he hasn't come with a crispy today, so a white crispy, so... He's just within himself a little.
Yeah. It's a white shirt, Joey. Sometimes duck. Mm. If he's under the pump, he comes in a white shirt. For some reason, we find that funny.
Boys, the Melbourne Football Club have won three in a row. Gold Coast, Hawthorn and Port in recent weeks have got Carlton and Geelong to come.
Three in a row, BT. Yep. It's been a long time since they've done that. It shows a real... Earlier this year, they've had a couple of opportunities and they've expected to win that next game after having good wins, and they've dropped them. Big win for them yesterday.
Yeah, indeed it was. Paul Roos, the coach, is online. Roosie, appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us.
Pleasure, guys. Thank you.
There's just a little window of opportunity there, Roosie, now, isn't there?
Well, I guess mathematically, yeah. But, you know, we've still got a lot of work to do in our game to get, you know, up into that top bracket of teams. You talked about consistency. I think that was one of the best things about the weekend, just to win our third game in a row. And, you know, we're a pretty young team, so there's always a bit of a worry that you drop off, but there's no signs at the moment. The fatigue doesn't seem to be setting in, but yeah, it was an important win, got off to a really good start, and then our last quarter was terrific.
Roosie, you've built some real depth through the middle of the ground now. Clearly Hawthorn are the measuring stick. They throw so many players through that area. You now have an abundance of players to do exactly the same.
Yeah, I think when I first arrived, you know, Nathan Jones, there was so much on his shoulders and it was really, really difficult. Jack Viney was obviously an emerging midfielder, but getting, you know, Bernie Vince across initially, even Daniel Cross, Dom Tyson has developed into a fantastic player. And then through the draft with Petraka, Oliver and Brayshaw has been really important. Buggy coming in as well. So, look, there's been a really big emphasis on our midfield from a recruiting point of view. Jason Taylor, Toddy Viney. So, look, it has been a big thing because, as you know, I mean, the midfield is now really your two high half-forwards, you know, the half-backs that play on those half-forwards as well. So you've got to have an abundance of guys that can go through that area.
And, Roosie, they also need a man who's prepared to have an influence around the contest. And Maxi Gawns this year, I saw him play against Geelong last year down at Geelong and he had a breakout game. But his year this year and his consistently high performance has really allowed a lot of those players that you've just mentioned to flourish.
Yeah, you're right. I think it did start last year too. He didn't play the first half of the year. He's probably got a little bit frustrated and, you know, we were trying to really work on his game and demand, you know, from him how we wanted to play it at Casey. And, yeah, he really embraced that and got in midway through last year. And, yeah, the Geelong game was a real turning point. Then had a big pre-season. And as you guys know, your better seasons tend to come off your good pre-seasons. So, yeah, look, he's been in exceptional form and, you know, teams are now starting to throw different things at him. He's really coping well with that. Yeah, two ruckmen, we're going with sort of him and Pedo and Watsy. So, look, there's a lot of responsibility on his shoulders and he's going really, really well.
Roosie, can you just indulge us for a second? What would it mean for the club to make finals? I mean, it's massive to even be in the finals race, round 22. It's been a decade since the club has played in September. But what sort of boost, what sort of excitement does it create in your football club that you are a legitimate finals chance, you know, with 2 weeks left in the season?
Yeah, well, I think it's probably more the direction. I guess, you know, we can't control what happens in the next couple of weeks to a certain extent. But I think there's real excitement around what the club's building. Excitement around our list, as you mentioned. You know, just the ability to play against good teams. You know, our best football's been really, really good this year. And I think going into the season, we wanted to minimise our poor games. You know, so we've probably done that to a certain degree. We've had a few of them, but certainly not as many as the past few years. So I think the excitement comes also from this year, but also looking at pre-season, looking at the next, you know, 3 to 5 years where the team and the club should go into some, you know, a real period of success, hopefully.
Roosie, you've got two games to go before you can go on a lovely holiday, I'm sure, with the family. You've obviously left the club in a way better position than when you got there, but what will be your greatest achievement, you think?
I think I was actually saying to my wife this morning. I mean, probably without singling any guys out or any, you know, just probably Nathan Jones and, you know, being the captain now and just seeing the smile on his face after the game last night. Yeah, they've been through a lot, some of these guys, you know, and Jack Watts is the other one. You know, just it's probably more that's going to be the memory that I'll take. Just I remember meeting with the leadership group before I took the job, and, yeah, it was a pretty sort of confronting meeting to come away from and just to see how the players were at that particular stage. So to see, you know, Wattsy and Nathan Jones in particular after the game last night, you know, the excitement of winning, it's really infectious now, and hopefully they continue to do that. So I really, yeah, really empathise with what they've been going through, and yeah, losing games of footy over a period of time, you know, is really, really tough. Obviously, so they're probably the so many things that I'll take with it. But I guess if a couple stick out, just the smiles on those two guys' faces last night after the game.
Give us a bit of an idea of what they might have said to you in that meeting, Roosie, that leadership meeting before you took the job.
I might let that out after the year, Peter.
Oh,
but,
sounds like
probably with with two no, probably with two games to go. It's really important to continue to focus on next week, and certainly perhaps at the end of the season, you want to give me a call and I'll let some of that out.
Hey, Roosie, send some of those lovely manshakes in here for BT. He needs to.
Well, I hope he's on the man challenge, is he?
BT, Roosie's man shake. You can have a couple of frothies. You can eat what you want.
Is that just Boomer's spark?
No. It's very good, BT.
Hey, Roosie, given your close relationship, working relationship with Goody, once you head off into the sunset, do you intend to stay in regular contact with him now that he'll be the senior coach beyond this year?
Look, I'm really conscious, probably as I was with John. I mean, I think the new coach needs some real clean air. So I tend to leave that, as I did with John, I tend to leave that up to them, you know. And I guess a little bit different because I was still working at the Swans, but the office was not in the Swans office. We were over in the Sydney Footy Stadium. So I'd wander over every now and then, and if John wanted to chat, I was always open to chat. But I think it's really important that the new coach gets some real clean air and Goody comes in. He's going to be a fantastic coach and, you know, he doesn't need me looking over his shoulder or anything like that. He's got some great staff already. So, yeah, but look, I love the footy club now and, yeah, I can't wait to see how they progress over the next couple of seasons.
Roosie, it's very interesting. The club's won three straight games in a row, but Jesse Hogan has not kicked a goal in those games. In fact, I think he only has one in the last month. How is the big fella travelling at the moment?
Yeah, I think that's a real progression for us, the footy club, isn't it? And even last, I remember saying to Goody after the game, actually, I said, look, you look down the stat sheet and Jesse didn't have a lot of the ball, but he had an impact on the game. And I think that shows his maturity now, his ability to compete, bring the ball to ground, you know, take some critical marks at critical times. So, and I think the fact that we've got, you know, multiple options going forward, our mids are kicking goals as well, means that, you know, thankfully we're not as reliant on Jesse. But he's still playing a really, really important team role for us.
Appreciate your time, Roosie. Congratulations on the good form.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Three in a row for the Melbourne Football Club and doing very well.
Yeah, great signs for the D's. So well done to them, three in a row, as BT said. We've got the Tigers and the Cats from the Triple MCG.
And just want to...
Has there ever been a cooler coach than Paul Roos?
Oh, probably.
No, I reckon he... No, there hasn't. Who? Who's cooler than Roosie?
I haven't exactly got a cool column going.
Well, I do. I just reckon under pressure, when you go to the box, you look at all the other coaches, they age about 10 years in the first three. Roosie is just calm, calculating, smooth, still a good-looking... I just reckon he's the coolest coach I've ever seen.
Well, Sheets calls him the Sundance Kid.
The Sundance Kid.
Yeah, really. Which fits into that.
Yeah. Now listen. No, that's great.
Thanks for the backup there.
I'm just trying to think of one, but there's probably one out there. Yeah. I just wanted you guys to just talk Olympics for a minute, because I think it's time. You know what it's time for? To stop awarding our kids participation medals in junior sport. Award them medals for achieving, right? So best and fairest, or most consistent, or most improved is fine.
So when
Swatter!
They...
Yes, Brian.
Everyone today gets a medal just for turning up.
Yes.
guess what's happened?
What?
It's filtered on to our athletes
what
at the
mean?
Elite level.
What do you mean?
They're psychos.
What?
Have you seen Australia in the pool?
They've done awesome.
Fastest men and women in the world going into these games.
Yep.
Couldn't conjure up a medal between them.
Oh, that's a big event. Good competition.
If I hear one more swimmer get out of the pool and say, had a PB today, when I've been sitting there watching the TV expecting a medal, gold, why are you all gone quiet in here? Is this politically incorrect?
No.
No, it boils back to our kids in junior sport. And Duck, you're about to find out about this because your kids are getting to the age now where they're going to start participating.
Ella had her district athletics carnival on
Everyone's
Friday.
A winner at kids sport.
She got 3 seconds.
Well, that's all right.
Yeah,
that's a good that's a good effort, and she should be rewarded for getting 3 seconds.
Yeah, she got three red ribbons.
Well, that used to be you just get a first ribbon, a second ribbon, or a third.
Well, that's what she got.
Now you get a fourth, and now you get a fifth for
Brian. Get to the
participation.
Point. You're saying
meet the fuckers. You know, it is
meet the fuckers.
Yeah. You know that.
Yeah.
Remember when Greg had the ribbons, and he had and the dad said to him,
"Special
I didn't realise they gave out ninth place ribbons."
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yes.
Brian,
yes.
What you're saying is that Australia's been a big disappointment in the pool. That's what you're saying.
Yeah. I just think that psychologically, we've got this new coach who seems great, seems to have got them together, but psychologically, they just don't seem to be able to deliver in the Olympic Games, which is the number one event, I would imagine, in the swimmers.
Which is what Kate Campbell said.
Yep.
She said that she lost her head in it. She got focused on the outcome, the prize, rather than the process.
McAvoy, what do you say?
It is...
Mac Horton?
The pressure...
One.
But BT, the pressure to think that your preparation over 4 years and then it comes down to that moment.
Well, it's like an exam. It happens to kids doing year
12. Yeah, well, it does. It does. And sometimes...
Crushing.
Sometimes you're not, you know, for whatever reason, you're not at your... You don't perform at 100% all the time.
I think one of the shooters said on the day that he shoots, he feels sick all day.
Willett,
he wakes up in the morning.
Was that young Willett? He's the youngest shooter.
I think it was Russell Mark said that. It's the worst day of your life in a way because you get up, you just feel sick, you're anxious, you got a knot in your stomach, and just all 4 years of work. So you sympathise with the athletes.
Yeah,
from
Willett was ranked number one, the shooter, the trap shooter. He was ranked number one, and he didn't get a medal either. BT.
So how do you fix it, Brian?
He was ranked number one, but probably going to the Olympics before our other man got wiped out pre-Olympics.
Mm.
Not Russell Mark, the other one.
Diamond.
Mm. He probably would have been the number one, wouldn't he, coming in? He just pops them off with regular monotony.
So what do you say to your boys
before
compete? Listen, fellas, it doesn't matter if you try your best. You've got to win the grand final.
It's not what I say to them. It's what they get out of it. But what I would expect is if they've had a great year and they've played great footy, then, you know, if it's a trophy they want and that pleases them, great. But if they haven't, if they don't deserve that, then they shouldn't be given that. You know what I mean? Just to make everybody in the world feel good. Like, you know, win it and be good at it or be the most improved or be the best position player or whatever it is. But, you know, I just think we're going too easy on the kids. Do you agree or not? It's very quiet in here.
No, you didn't give me any backup with saying Roosie was cool. So why am I going to back you up now?
No. Anyway, it's just a little thing. Don't make a big deal of it. Just a little thing.
Just give it a pour of your best.
You've just bagged all of our...
Have we covered that off, Brian?
It was just a time filler. Well, the Hawks did the job yesterday on North Melbourne, 39 points in the end, but it looked more savage than that early on.
Their highest losing margin for the year, can you believe it or not?
Who, North?
Yeah, 39 points is their highest losing margin.
North are going sideways, aren't they?
Sideways?
Yeah.
Go on, BT, check it out.
It is too.
Grabbing.
Sideways, I think, is being kind of them.
Yep.
They are just...
Here we go.
Not going well at the moment, are they?
Ooh, how
no,
are
they're
they
not,
going?
Brian.
They've lost 8 out of their last 11 games.
Yeah, it's not good form.
And haven't beaten a side in the top 8
and
for
their last
11
games
weeks.
Sydney GWS.
Yep.
Gee.
Earlier in the season, Brian, you were saying they were going to win the flag. No, so you got right ahead of yourself.
No, I didn't at all. Who's on the line now? Now, Grant Birch was on the line because Hawthorn played here at this venue, the MCG, where we sit and wait for today's game between the Tigers and the Cats. He joins us on the line now. Birch, appreciate your time.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Out of 10, where did you rate the performance of Hawthorn yesterday, do you think, in terms of what you guys are capable of?
I'm not sure. The start was really good. That's probably the best footy we've played all year, that first quarter.
Very sharp.
We were pretty sharp, and I think we dominated all areas of the game in that first quarter. But the middle two quarters were a little bit disappointing. We were really frustrated with the way we moved the footy there, and it's good that the boys finished it off. So out of 10, probably 6.5 or a 7, I'll say.
Okay.
Tell us about the games of Isaac Smith, Brad Hill, Billy Hartung. You really seemed to have an edge in the running stakes yesterday, Birch.
Yeah, we did. We like I said, we moved the ball really well early, and with those guys, with their run and dash, and not only receiving the ball themselves, but creating space for others to run into, and they've been really important, and really, really important in the way that we play. So. They were terrific, and hopefully they can do the same in the wide spaces up at Subiaco this week.
Hey, they're only little things, but we see it week in, week out by you guys. We talk about the quick hands, but the tap-ons to advantage that you guys do every week, is it something that's talked about? Is it something that you practice? But Poppy did a brilliant one. We know Cyril did a nice one again yesterday, but you just seem to do it consistently.
Yeah, particularly our forwards, they're really damaging and smart up there, and they do a lot of those small things, and they do practice it a little bit of training. We don't really talk about it too much, but they're just so, instinctive type of players that, that help each other out, and those little tap-ons and, getting a hand in and all those sorts of things are really important, and they were terrific yesterday.
Hey, Birch, well done yesterday. Introduced Kurt Heatherley last week for his first game of AFL footy. Rolled another one into AFL footy yesterday. Ryan Burton, how'd you see his game?
Yeah, he was terrific. Birdo, he had a couple of shots early and he looked quite dangerous. And we call him Little Gunston out of the footy club. So, he's a confident kid. He backs himself in, and it's good to see him go for his marks and that yesterday. And I think he's going to be a really good player for us in the future.
The other thing that I've admired also, and we said it yesterday in the call, a former teammate of Joey Montagna's is your big ruckman, Ben McAvoy. His ability now to impact the contest around the ground seems to have been something that he's developed since he's come to Hawthorn.
Yeah. He's got a really good aerobic base. He can run all day. And, his ability to mark the footy and bring it to ground is really important for us. And he can go forward and kick a couple of goals. So... both him and Segs have been really important for us this year and have been in really good form for us. So hopefully that can continue.
Grant, you don't have the depth this year that possibly you had in recent years, and it's something Alistair Clarkson has touched on recently. Do you feel that because of that you're probably not as well placed this year with more sort of inexperience? You're more relying on kids to win the fourth premiership in a row?
Yeah, I think a lot of those kids have spent 3 or 4 years down at Box Hill, so they know the way we play. They just need an opportunity, and they've done quite well for us this year. So I'm confident come finals time that they'll be able to stand up and deliver. And it's really exciting for them, and hopefully we can get it done.
Now, Birch, we had Ben Stratton on Triple M Footy on the rub yesterday, and he suggested that he was a fairly good DJ. He'd been out doing official gigs and actually getting paid for them. Have you attended any of his gigging of recent time?
I steer clear of that sort of stuff, BT. He loves his DJing, Strats, and he's a bit of a different cat. So, he ventures out and does his thing, and... maybe at the end of the footy season, the off-season, might have to attend a couple.
So he's a little sort of left of centre, isn't he? He's a little Brunswick Street. I know he's an operator down there, but he fits in well.
He does, yeah. And the kits that he wears in and around the footy club is a bit bizarre at times. So, he just does his thing out of Brunswick and Fitzroy, and, we just let him go.
Well done yesterday. You guys are doing nicely again this year. You've only lost one game, I think, in about the last 10 weeks. So doing well. I appreciate your time.
No worries. Thanks, guys.
Grant Birchall joining us. That one loss was to Melbourne just a couple of weeks ago. And other than that, they haven't lost since round 9 when they lost to Sydney by, was it 14 points, Jay-Z?
Yeah, but are they travelling as well?
Well, I think we're just sick of them, and that's why we that's why we probably don't look at them as intensely as we used to. I think they'll win it. If they play their best footy, they win it.
Can you imagine what that would be like if they win, Joey, four premierships in a row to then go for a fifth? It's never been done before. It's an extraordinary achievement, and you're right, BT. We do underplay it just because sometimes you get to sort of, from our perspective, a Monday meeting, and say, right, the Hawks win again. What are you going to write about them? Like, how many times can you say they're unbelievable?
Yeah, look, they are super. And I think, though, you made a good point about this year they probably will have to rely a little bit more on their star quality than in previous years. But they're capable. I mean, who's going to doubt Cyril or Luke Hodge on a big day finals that they can carry their team over the line? But they are relying a lot on their star power more this year than previously.
Travis Cloak, Jay-Z, front page of today's Herald Sun. What's the latest with Travis Cloak?
Look, he's gone. He wants to explore a trade at the end of the year, if it is possible. So it will come down to the clubs doing the deal. He's really frustrated, Travis, with being dropped three times this season. He sort of feels that he hasn't been going that differently to the other Collingwood key forwards, you know, in Mason Cox and Jesse White. He thinks his performance is sort of equivalent to those, but yet he is being made the scapegoat and being continually dropped. He kicked five goals yesterday, watched him pretty closely, worked hard, presented, did all the right things, and he's put his hand up for selection against Gold Coast this weekend. Now, as we understand it, the Bulldogs are all in on Hurley, Michael Hurley, and then once they lock in that domino, then they can be in a position to see what happens with Travis Cloak. And when you think Stuart Cramery comes back, Bob Murphy comes back, there's some real weapons to bolster this very young and talented Western Bulldogs side.
So you're suggesting him at the Bulldogs because of the Redpath injury for a year is a nice one-year gap filler.
It's perfect. And when Mick Mouldhouse, someone who knows Travis as well as anyone, says it would be the absolute perfect fit for him, I think that sort of carries some weight.
Can the Bulldogs fit him in on whatever his salary will be next year? Because we obviously know Tom Boyd getting a fair whack. Can they afford him?
It's a good question. He's been getting paid about $400,000-$450,000 with incentives at Collingwood next year.
Collingwood will pay half, won't they?
The Magpies would have to pay a fair chunk of that to get the deal done.
Why is it that we in the media, we sit here and there's probably been a million stories written about Travis Cloak this year and his form and everything. He's playing seconds, not playing great when he gets in the ones. And then you sit here and say, oh, whatever club he goes to, he's going to be the saviour. He hasn't had a kick for 18 months.
No, I don't think it's about saviour.
So who's to suggest if he goes to the Bulldogs, he'll even get a kick?
Well, it's no
and
guarantees.
Why would the Bulldogs about that when they're trying to develop a kid like Boyd and, as you said, Cramery coming back
Ace Cordy, all of those guys.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I think Trav needs a fresh start. But the simple facts are he has not played anywhere near his best footy for 2 years.
Yes, but do you say how could
2 years?
Well, Duck, you wouldn't know about this, neither would Joey. But when you change clubs, it's like having a bit of a polish. You get the car all gleaming again, and when you sit in a car that's had a polish, you feel better about it. It feels clean. You go, geez, it's brand new and I'm off again. It's like a club. It's what do you and I know about this?
Yes, Brian.
Because we've been a new club.
Yes. So has Duck.
Duck, you did change clubs, didn't you?
Oh, you did. You are revitalised as a player. And I think that's where the belief in that he may do something comes from. The fact that he goes to a second club and he gets a bit of a lift and he knows his career is on the line.
And I hope he does. And I want to say that I don't think I've seen a more impressive guy under the scrutiny that he's been under. He's been incredibly impressive.
Travis.
He's fronted up to the media. He's gone back with the right attitude, clearly into the seconds, kicked five goals. I mean, it says a lot about him. He's a lovely kid. I can call him a kid because I'm older than him, but he's a lovely man. And, you know, he's been through a lot. And I agree with you. And I hope he can BT. I truly do, because I like to see everyone happy and doing well in their lives. But so I hope he can do exactly that. But what I'm saying is don't sit here, Jay-Z, and sort of talk about him as being the saviour of whatever club he goes to, because off form,
did I say saviour,
he's
Joe?
Not going to do that.
But if he goes to a good club, he only has
So you're saying Collingwood's not a good club?
No, a finals participating club, a top-end club at this moment. Then he only has to do a little bit. You know what it's like. You go into a good club, you don't have to do it.
I'm just saying Collingwood are not haven't played well this year. They're not a top club, and he's been dropped three times. Sort of says a fair bit about. He's got a fair bit of work to do. Yes, a fresh start will help him, BT, because it will revitalise him. It's a new plan. It's a new coach. It's all of those things. But Don't think that he's just going to go to a new club and all of a sudden become a 10 mark 8 contested player again.
Is there something happening at the VFL level with Cloke in regards to participation?
This is the twist this week. Because if he plays one more AFL game, that means he will be disqualified or not eligible for their VFL finals tilt. Now, at the moment, Collingwood...
There's a ceiling number of games, is there?
Yes. He's currently on 12, which is the most. If he plays 13, that's it. He cannot play VFL finals. Now, Collingwood is currently on top of the ladder in the VFL campaign and going beautifully. Now, in the disastrous year that the senior team is having, a VFL premiership would be great. So, what do you do?
Well, as a player, it's an interesting... Only Travis can answer that, whether he would even want to...
kick snags in the VFL flag.
Yeah, well, he'd even want to play in the VFL in the finals. How would you feel? Well, you've sort of done something similar to that, BT.
If his papers are stamped.
Oh. Have you not? No, but you have, haven't you?
Played finals in the seconds?
Yeah.
No, Duck.
Oh, sorry, I thought you had. No. I thought you had.
Not to my
What would he rather do, BT?
Would
he rather play against Gold Coast this weekend or potentially spearhead Collingwood's VFL team and gloss himself up?
He would definitely want to play in the AFL.
Would he?
Okay. Because that's where the clubs are going to see him and potentially that's where they'll... acquire him out of. What are they going to see in his performance in the VFL?
That's right. And if he does want out, Jay-Z, and there is a club interested, I don't think they would want him playing in the VFL finals if the year's over, because they wouldn't want him to get injured if they invested in him.
Play against the best and you'll be judged accordingly, I guess.
Will he be at Collingwood next year, Brian?
No.
He's out.
No, he's gone.
And do you think he can play a meaningful role at the Bulldogs or insert another club here?
Yeah, I think he can. I'm a bit more upbeat than the Duck is about him.
No, you didn't listen to my
No, I did. And you're really thumbing him down.
You heard what I said. I just said, don't think he's going to be the saviour. That's all.
He's got work to do.
He's got a lot of work to do.
I don't think he has to be the saviour. Anywhere he goes, I think he's just going to go into a club that's on the edge and just has to do his job. His little bit. He doesn't have to go and be the saviour.
Has to do his job. So he hasn't been able to do that job for Collingwood this year.
Well, you know, I'm sensing there's more to that than what we've seen.
Friction. Do you know what would help him at the Bulldogs, I think? Just being off Broadway a little bit. If he goes to Richmond, for example, media glare, massive spotlight every day, the same focus.
That's not a good club for him to go to.
Richmond? It's not.
Straight swap for Vickery to Collingwood. Cloke to Richmond.
No, he doesn't want to. He wouldn't want to go there because it would just be a massive thing. The Bulldogs.
Well, he has to do
it's
everything
off Broadway.
There.
That's less right. Focus.
He becomes the main focus.
It's a soft landing.
He wants to go to the Bulldogs and fit into a team that's got all these other heavyweights around him, and he just does his little piece.
The beverage factor.
I don't think he can go and be the focus, as you say.
The care bear.
The saviour. But I think he can go and be in basketball terms, a role player.
And then you've got Cramery, Stringer, Dalhouse, all working off him. Because at the moment, Beveridge has got Zane Cordy playing five games, playing out a full forward. Travis Cloke's probably a better player than Zane Cordy.
Now, listen, we've got Peter Bell coming up soon.
We have. A little bit later on.
What? Just tell us what was said in Perth papers today.
Big stories, the back page of the Sunday Times in Perth, after yesterday on radio describing the environment at Fremantle as horrid. Saying that there was a conversation on Perth Radio yesterday about the players potentially wanting to leave the Dockers, Nat Fyfe's status being up in the air, a demanding coaching style from Ross Lyon, and the word Peter Bell used to describe things were horrid. I'm pretty keen to find out what he meant by that.
Well, a couple of text messages have been exchanged today. Looking forward to having Bally on, and he's just texted through that his quotes were written entirely out of context, term horrid, and keen to come on board to have a bit of a chat to clear that up. Dear.
Let's cancel the interview then. Hey, by the way, if Joey doesn't say something...
129 was the last time he opened his mouth and uttered a single word. Hey. 129. It's now nearly 10 to 2.
Joey, it's been a funky show.
Can't put the full invoice in today to Great Lee Simon. We've got to clip that back, 70.
I'm tipping that last time he was on, he might have been hauled into the office.
Muzzled.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh,
shut it down,
Joey. What happened, Joey?
Just stick to the game, Joey.
I think the AFLPA gave him a pat on the back for his comment.
Jay-Z, we were talking before a little bit about Fremantle. Yep. Just fill us in with the latest of what's going on there.
Back page in the Sunday Times in Perth this morning, the headline is horrid in quotes and saying Peter Bell basically, you know, savages a football club over player discontent. Now, this is the...
Isn't he within his right to do that as a director?
Well, he is a board member and it's a pretty honest and brutal account. Would anyone disagree with it? Certainly they've had a bad year. This is the quote that I'm reading now from the newspaper that Bell was reported to have said on radio yesterday. I know it's a brutal game and it's a ruthless game and things are horrid at Fremantle. I'm not making any excuse for that, but I couldn't ever fathom a stage in my career where I'd want to be relieved to be playing waffle rather than the AFL. And that was back off the back of a conversation where it was alleged that players don't want to play under Ross and they are relieved to go down to the waffle to get out of the intense sort of environment around the AFL team. And that's where the context was used in describing things as horrid.
All right, well, let's get the man in question on the phone. Peter Bell, the one of the board directors for the Fremantle Footy Club, has kindly joined us. Belly, thanks for your time. Appreciate you coming on. Your thoughts with regards to the article and what was quoted in it?
Yeah, good afternoon, everybody. Obviously, I was a little bit surprised to wake up on a Sunday morning and read those comments attributed to me. With the key part here being that I definitely used the term horrid, but that was in reference to our win-loss record and where we've ended up this season with results compared to the expectation at the start of the year after finishing 2015 as minor premiers to end up with 3 wins and that amount of losses and a horrible injury run was certainly horrid. I didn't use the term horrid in reference to the environment or what the feeling is like down there. Having said that, of course, it's been a challenging year. The other part that I just wanted to clarify, and I'm sure most of you sitting there listening right now and the people listening at home, well, I would ask you guys who have played AFL football, has there ever been a time, do you think, where you're relieved to be playing in the WAFL and drop back to the WAFL? I couldn't see that happening. So that's what the points were made around.
Belly, you're not telling me that a paper has sort of taken it out of context or misquoted you, are you? Surely not.
Look, sometimes maybe I could have made it clearer. But look,
I'm being facetious. I'm being facetious, Belly.
Look, sometimes there's a different interpretation out there. So I appreciate the opportunity. I'm not going to come in and say anything too drastic because I can understand how interpretation works, but look, mistakes get made from time to time. And look, I'm not shying away from the fact that I still use that term, horrid, to describe the season for 2016 for Fremantle, and I think most people agree.
Belly, what was the text message from Fremantle CEO Steve Rosich this morning?
I actually got on the front foot, so I contacted Steve and also the media manager and said, look, these were the terms of reference. I went back and had a listen to the audio where I was making those comments, and I said, this is where the confusion has occurred. The journalist has thought that I'm talking about an environment where essentially I'm talking about the results and where we find ourselves.
It does raise a question, though, when players like Hayden Ballantyne request a trade to West Coast, which I think has only happened once with Daniel Metropoulos. How is the environment?
Well, look, yesterday was the first that I'd heard of that. And I can't verify that. Only those people to whom that he made that request, if indeed they were made, would know the truth of that. Hayden's a Fremantle person. And like I said on the radio yesterday, I love the way he goes about his football. I know that opposition teams and opposition supporters don't like him. He's a very courageous player, and he's Fremantle through and through. But as you guys would know, if a player comes to you, and I'm not saying this has happened, but if he comes to you and said, you know what, I want out, then you do everything you can to persuade them that, no, can you stay? This is why we value you. But ultimately, if they want to leave, then the footy club's going to do the best by the footy club. I don't know exactly the circumstances around Hayden Ballantyne right now. What I would say is I hope he stays at Freo.
Hey, Belly, have you heard anything about other players maybe wanting out? There's been other names, Walters, Subin, Tabiner, have all been thrown up that, you know, are not feeling great about the footy club. Have you heard any of that?
Look, I've heard bits and pieces, but as you guys know, you hear a lot of rumours and innuendo.
I know all about that, Belly.
In the footy environment. And when you put up 3 wins, clearly there's going to be a lot of scrutinisation of everyone's position at the footy club. Now, whether some guys want out or some guys are absolutely steadfast and want to remain, I'd expect there to be a sprinkling of both.
Wow.
Very interesting.
All right, Belly. Well, I think you've cleared that up pretty well. We appreciate you coming on and being forthright with us. Appreciate the opportunity. Thanks a lot.
Always a pleasure.
Thanks, Billy.
Peter Bell, director of one of the directors of the Fremantle Footy Club.
It was very matter of fact.
Yeah. He wasn't copping any of your shenanigans, Duck, was he?
I thought I'd try and get a little bit of a laugh out of him, but got absolutely nothing.
Jay-Z, Ross Lyon, how would he be handling all of this, and where's he on it all, do you think?
Well, he's playing the long game at the moment. They're clearly playing a lot of kids and looking forward to the future. They're trying to get McCarthy, they're trying to get Brad Hill, Jesse Hogan, and really reset themselves.
And get their injured players back.
But the question at the moment, and this is probably one for Joey, is how demanding is that environment to play under Ross Lyon? Is it fair to say that he, and I really admire him, in fact, we all really admire him, but can he be too demanding, or is an environment not for everyone?
Look, he's certainly a demanding and ruthless coach, but our understanding since he's gone to Fremantle, he's actually relaxed a lot from what he used to be like at St Kilda. He's actually taken a bit more of a back step and relaxed. So I do find it surprising. It is, I mean, his style isn't for everyone, and some players do find it harder than others, but you have that respect with Ross, and if you like the way he goes about it, well, then you keep playing for him. And we never once didn't want to play for Ross or want to play VFL football, certainly. So it's interesting to see what's going on there.
Take Richo out of it now because he's your current coach. So who's the best coach you've ever had?
Yeah, Ross Lyon.
Ross Lyon.
Yeah, yep. Easy.
Is there a memory that stands out, where it's his best coaching performance, or when he had your hair standing up on the back of your neck? Is there the grand finals? Is there something that you can take us in an insight and question without notice just about, the genius of him?
No, not really. The greatest strength of Ross Lyon was his ability to see what was happening in a game and then come down to the players and say, okay, this is what's happening. This is what we need to do to fix it. And that was his greatest strength. Every time he would always be able to sum up what's happening in the game and what we needed to do. And I found that the greatest strength of his as a coach.
All right, nicely done. Now, just before we leave Collingwood and Travis Cloak, who we're talking about before we spoke to Belly, just Dane Swan.
Mark Robinson's wrote the story in the Sunday Herald Sun, following up your comments, Duck.
Sandra Sully with the late news, right?
Great work with Dane Swan. Is it your expectation that Dane Swan will not play AFL next year?
I wrote an article 5 weeks ago saying pretty much that. So, yeah. He won't. His injuries, it's a really, really bad injury to come back from. And he will, it's a long way back. And I think that it will be announced, I would assume, before the last game.
What do you reckon, BT? Is that the right call?
Well, I think so. I haven't spoken to Dane. I don't know little about his injury, so I'm listening intently to what Wayne's got to say, because I'm believing what he's got to say.
It would be hard to come back from him.
You couldn't begrudge a 32-year-old that's won everything in the game. He's a champion. He obviously doesn't see a premiership on the horizon next year, and he thinks, why would I put myself through it? And it's going to take a while for that foot to even be at its absolute
One of the great characters. We lose a sensational player, an absolute ball magnet. You know when they talk about
great opportunity next year to get some more tats.
When they
Brownlow winner.
No, but when they talk about 30 plus possessions, and I think Sam Mitchell. He's drawing in on Robert Harvey's games. But in terms of games played and average for those 30-plus possessions, Dane Swan is by far the biggest ball magnet the game has ever seen.
We won't lose him, though, because he'll be very prominent in the media. How do you rate his work in the media?
Do you think? Yeah. Will he? I thought he'd be the sort. To me, I would have thought.
No, he'll want to separate himself. He'll travel. I think he'll travel
he'll
for a year.
I thought he'll drift off and you won't see him.
He won't be a footy show man.
I wouldn't have thought
he'll
so.
He'll travel for a year. He'll go. He'll get away and get out of Australia.
I would be surprised to see him involved in footy again.
Do you rate his media work?
Because I don't think he really wants to be.
Do you rate his media work?
I haven't seen much of it. I've seen the footy show stuff, and he's been good.
He's got a very good sense of humour, very dry sense of humour, and clever wit. I think that he'll get away for a year, get away from the game, he's always said that he wants to play with his mates at a local level. Now, whether his injury allows him to do that at a way later date, who knows? But he's always said that he's wanted to do that.
Although Swanee's the type that could hobble around on one foot at local footy. Yeah, local footy.
He would still get 40.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Not sure he'll be working at the ABC. Probably more a Triple M operator, I would have thought. But
So throw in Nat Newey. Mumford, gee, was up around Nat Newey's neck. Nat Newey picks it up. Nat Newey snaps the goal.
From nowhere, the West Coast Eagles.
Yes, it was an exciting finish, Swatter, this game here. Of course, West Coast getting up in the last, basically the last second of the game.
Who was that in the background commentating there?
Luffy, I think.
Was that Luffy?
Coat.
Getting pretty excited there. Hey, listen, our guest Luke Shuey is online. And, of course, I think he had 38 himself, Luke. He was BOG. Congratulations, Luke. Wonderful finish to the game.
Yeah, it was, boys. It was wonderful for us. Probably hard to take for GWS, but now it's a cracking game of footy.
It was a great result, Luke, and I think it was an important one given the fact that you've had some troubles when you've been on the road. So a big win against a good opponent would do the confidence a whole world of good.
Yeah, no, for sure. We probably struggled to beat the really good teams of the competition this year, and GWS is certainly up there, and they're going to give finals a real shake, and they're a tremendous footy club, and it was a really good win for our footy club.
Luke, what's gone wrong for you guys this year? Good win, obviously, yesterday. Congratulations. But where do you see the problems with the footy club at the moment? Clearly, you haven't reached the heights of last year.
No, we haven't. We still feel like we're tracking along okay. I mean, we're sitting... we've still got a chance to top four, which is obviously the aim, but we've probably struggled for consistency, I think, particularly against good sides. We've just tended to drift in and out of games a little bit, so hopefully we can correct that, and hopefully yesterday was the start of something for the run home.
Luke, take us through that last 10 seconds, mate. Where were you at that final stoppage? What did you see? Tell us about the exhilaration of that moment.
Yeah, we knew there was probably only one or two contests to go, so I was at Nick Feet actually calling for the tap, but he decided to do it all himself, and I'm happy he did. That's just what he does. He steps up in big moments, and it was a pretty special moment for him and the footy club.
And Luke, obviously Nick Nat's a very important player for the team, but also you obviously work really well with him. He obviously helps your game too, having Nick Nat back in the side.
Yeah, he helps all our midfielders, mate. He's obviously the dominant ruckman in the competition, and it's only his second week back from a fairly long layoff with his Achilles, so we didn't expect the world from him, but what he's able to do and his ability in the ruck to get first hands to it and all that sort of stuff, his follow-up at ground level and his pressure is so valuable to our team. And we realised how much we missed him when he was out, but he's a pretty special bloke to play alongside.
Luke, it's been interesting for us in Melbourne to just sort of see what's been happening with Eric McKenzie this year. Star fullback off a knee injury, out of the team at the moment. It doesn't look like his place is secure for finals. What does he have to do to get back in? And, have you been sort of surprised by what's been happening on his front this year?
Oh, look, it was a tough road back for Easy, obviously, the ACL last year. And he had the year-long layoff, and he's had to try and play catch-up, I suppose, with the system that our backs play. So, he had his back against the wall from the start, but, he's got a tremendous work rate, and he's working extremely hard to correct a few things. He's not far off. He's playing good waffle footy. We felt he's played pretty well when he's come into the team, but, I suppose fortunately for us, we've got three or four tall that are all playing really good footy, and it's a good problem to have, but we'll certainly back Easy in. He's won the best and fairest at our club before, and we know what he's capable of.
You got a really good forward line that's pretty potent on its day, Luke, but I think midfield goals are critical, especially when you're getting towards the pointy end of the year. 7 goals between yourself, Nick Nat, Matty Prittis, and also Dom Sheed. Is that a focus of the midfield group to give the forward line a bit of a chop out?
No, it hasn't been a focus. It's probably been an area which we haven't excelled in over the last few years, if I'm honest. But, yesterday things fell into place for us a little bit in that area. And, when Pritter's kicking 2 goals, the floodgates are really opening up. So he said that himself after the game. But, it is nice to get on the end of the year and give the forwards a chop out, because we are lucky. We have an extremely good forward line, but you can't just rely on them every week.
Just a little drive-by for the Brownlow medalists there, Luke. We like that. Hey, Friday night, a massive game against Hawthorne. They did you over in last year's grand final. Will there be a bit of emotion around this occasion, because it is a massive game and you owe them a bit?
To be honest with you, I think the only emotion that we'll have is the motivation to try and secure a top four spot. We need to win these last 2 games, and we've certainly got our work cut out for us. We've got Hawthorn this week and then Adelaide, both premiership contenders. So we get a really good test to see where we're at.
but you know, it's not a game where emotions are going to be out of the ordinary. We've already played them this year, and look, they touched us up there again as well. But there's no bad blood or any extra motivation to beat Hawthorn this week, other than we want to finish as high as we can on the ladder.
And Luke, just the last little one. How do you boys get on with Hayden Ballantyne?
Yeah.
Well, on field, not too well. He's got his antagonistic ways, but. Nah, look, I've met Hayden off field a couple of times over the last few years. He's a good fella, but I'm not sure where that's at, but I'm sure he's focused on playing good footy for Freo over the last two or three games.
I'm not so sure about that. Look, I think he could be heading your way. Appreciate your time. Good luck against Hawthorn next week.
Oh, thanks, boys. Thanks for having me on.
Luke Shuey joining us on Triple M Football. Now, after the game yesterday, David King, courtesy of Fox Sports, caught up with the man himself, Nick Nat. Have a listen.
I know it's not going through your mind right now, but do you feel like this is the sort of win you need to kickstart the finals campaign?
It is. These next few games, obviously the Hawks and Adelaide, those guys are going to be up there in finals, so we'll see where we're at with the next couple of games.
What about yourself, mate? Fitness, you look a bit buggered right now.
Yeah, I'm stuffed, mate. As you always get out after a long break off, but I'll get there.
Just saves us getting him on. Thank you to Fox Sports. And, of course, Adam Simpson in his presser was pretty happy and thought it was a pretty important game after the game.
Oh, really proud. It was, you know, the best win we've had, really, as a club in my time. And it never gave up. So, six-day break, top four side, interstate. So, hopefully we've answered a couple of questions there. But now we've got to back it up. So, there's another six-day break coming to the Hawks.
Incredible to think they could still end up with a home final. After looking pretty ordinary. What have they won? Six of their last seven or something? Or seven of their last eight?
Who are you tipping on Friday night, Brian? Hawks, Eagles?
Probably the Hawks. I just reckon for
even
the...
Even over there?
I just... Well, probably. I don't know. I don't think West Coast is that good, but I do think Hawthorn...
He just kiboshed their best win of the year.
I don't think they're that good. Do you think they're that good?
At home, I think they're a better team.
Do you think they can win the premiership was the question he asked?
No.
Right. So you think like I think.
Well, I just said
not necessarily. I don't think anyone thinks like you think, Brian.
Right. I'm. Tell me if this is not true. The great one. If Hawthorn play their best footy, are they better than everyone else?
Yes.
Oh, Jesus. Go to the breaks. Mickey Roberts is out and about, always doing a fantastic job for us. He's got a cat down there, and he's on the coaching staff, Mickey.
He's a superstar, and Matty Scarlett's with me, and I tell you what, he's just reminiscing with Boris Enright, walking down the members' wing here in the sunshine. He just put the cans on. What did you say to him?
To be honest, mate, he owes me a slab of Coronas. It was 2009. We used to have a competition kicking the ball from down here, and if you landed in the centre square, it was a slab of Coronas. Right. I think it was a final against the Dogs. I kicked it from 60 metres away, landed in the middle, and he still hasn't paid me. So that's what I told him that.
So you're going to square off?
Yes. Yeah.
I tell you what, we've got Danger and Dusty going around today too, but you're at a pretty full list. You're managing Mackie, and also Menzel's out with that adductor. But, geez, it's good to be able to stand in the middle and have your team meeting an eyeball pretty well a full list.
Yeah, we're healthy, mate, at the right time of year. It's all about playing well now and getting some consistency going into the finals. Obviously, the result yesterday, GWS and West Coast went our way, so we need to take care of business today.
You played a lot of games with Harry Taylor, Matty. He plays his 200th today. How would you describe him in a paragraph?
Oh, just a sensational footballer, mate, and a very weird unit off the field. So that's about it.
Well, what's the weirdest thing about
not,
him, mate?
Not really. He's just different, mate. He likes drinking his cognacs and expensive drinks and loves the wars and all that stuff. He's turned himself into a fantastic footballer, mate. So terrific person.
Hey, Scarlo, now that you're the defensive coach down there, they say that when you played with these boys, Harry Taylor and Mackie and these boys, you used to give it to Mackie a fair bit about not being in the right spot or not... not standing in the hole and all that sort of stuff. Are you tougher now as a coach on those guys?
Oh, I don't think so, mate. I think I'm a little bit more well-rounded now. It's a little bit harder as a coach. I have to treat them with a bit more respect than I did when I was playing. But they're a terrific bunch of guys, and they're very easy to coach.
Matty, what have you made about the media commentary about Jimmy Bartel and his future at the moment? Where do you stand on his future?
Mate, obviously I'm not in all those conversations behind the scenes. Jimmy's playing good football at this stage, and he's worried about just finishing off the year. So all the other stuff, mate, I know it's been big in the media, it doesn't really worry me at all.
Well, how have you rated his year?
He's playing well, mate. He's playing his role. Obviously, he gets thrown around in many different positions, and he always plays pretty well, mate. So all that other stuff doesn't really bother me, to be honest.
Hey, what about your other mate, Matty? Boris Enright, still playing great footy.
It's probably his best ever year, mate, to be honest. He's won best and fairest in premiership years. He's never played better than he has this year, so he's just a marvel.
What is it, Matty, that he does now that perhaps he's added to his game since those premiership years?
It's hard to say what he's added, but he's just playing at a really high level week in, week out, probably even higher than he has in previous years. He doesn't miss a lot of training. He's still training really well. He had a great pre-season. He's just the all-round footballer, mate. So it's a pleasure to coach. It was great to play with him, but I guess you get a bit more of appreciation when you sit up in the box and watch what he does every week.
What are the things you've been focusing on, Matty, over the last sort of 4 or 5 weeks? Clearly, at times this year, you've probably let yourself down against teams that I guess you've been expected to beat. But in terms of your game, what are the things you've been working on?
Just our consistency, mate. Obviously, we build our game off our defence and our hardness around the footy. And the times throughout this year, we haven't played well. We've dropped off in those areas. So we just need to be at our best today and going forward.
Have you caught the coaching bug, Matty? When you were playing, I never necessarily thought you'd go into coaching. You'd sort of do something else. But how do you find, or how do you enjoy coaching?
Yeah, I love it, mate. You're probably right. When I played, it didn't interest me at all. When I retired, I'd done a little bit of coaching, and the more I do it, the more I love it. Obviously, got a great coaching staff at Geelong, and I'm learning a lot each week. So yeah, I am loving it.
Doesn't wear you down, Matty. You don't just get a gutful of it and go, I can't stand this
anymore. Yeah, I do at times.
Anymore.
I do. Yeah, but no, I love it. I love it. The boys it's a great group to coach, and obviously the backline guys. I'm really close to those fellas, and as I said before, they're low maintenance and very easy to coach.
Well done. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, guys.
Matty Scarlett joining us down there with Mickey Robbo. Hey, Robbo, while you're down there, mate, the conditions are just first class.
Absolutely amazing down here. Breathless. I'm in this forward pocket, Ponsford NBT. Ooh. As you know, you would have kicked a few out of here, out of this pocket. But seriously, sun out. Little breeze, going to have a little tack on the ball, hopefully a big crowd in, and I'm just about to go into the Tigers room to see if I can get Alex Rance too. Might as well just have a little word to one of the players, BT.
You're going to do a drive-by?
Yeah, we'll do it. I'll just swipe him as he comes through.
Goodness. Gracious me, you'd be our hero if you could get that done. Mickey, I'll send you down there.
No worries. I love a challenge, BT. You know that.
All right. Very nice. Very nicely done. Let's get through a few more of the issues here, Jay-Z, because you just love getting your chompers into these.
Joey, have you ever been in other radio commentary and boxes, and sort of is there a bloke who sort of gets thrown under the bus more so than me that you've noticed?
There's generally a bit more respect than with each other, a few of the other boxes than here, but that's all right.
Job Watson.
Yes.
What comes to your mind when I mention his name?
Well, there is still the biggest story in football to come of this season, and that is whether this man will be stripped of his Brownlow medal. And it's a very difficult one because although...
Is there a timeline attached to this?
I think the appeal verdict will happen sometime next month, and from there, the AFL Commission will make the hardest decision in its history, whether to strip this man of its Brownlow medal. Now, you think of Olympic athletes and the sort of talk and furor around drug cheats at the moment, athletes who are convicted of drug cheating, charged with drug cheating, then lose their Olympic medals. Now, under that sort of theory or system, Job Watson should lose his Brownlow medal if, in fact, the appeal is unsuccessful.
I strongly, strongly disagree.
Why is that, Duck?
Because he was found not guilty under the AFL rules, and I understand that WADA oversees all of that, but under the AFL rules, none of those players have ever tested positive. It's not beyond reasonable doubt, and I understand it's not that type of law.
WADA
but the
appealed.
Fact that there is some... They're going off, and the reason why they've been found guilty, BT, is not off positive tests or anything else. No. There has been some doubt. There's doubt, but that's all it is.
No, but the... Yeah, that's right.
That's all it is.
You're 100%
right. So why should a guy lose the Brownlow medal, given that what they were found not guilty under the AFL rules, but now, just because of doubt, because of WADA, lose his Brownlow medal. I think it'd be terrible, and I don't think it should happen.
I'm not here nor there on it, but why should a guy like Lance Armstrong lose 7 Tour de France when he never tested positive either?
Because he was. It ended up being him admitting and people coming out, witnesses coming out and saying you took performance-enhancing drugs. It's a little bit different. No one's saying that they took performance-enhancing drug. No one knows whether they took it. They've never tested positive for it, and they've been found guilty off doubt. That's it.
The Bombers were unwitting. They didn't really know what was happening to them.
But it's not even that. If there was a positive test or someone said, yes, they've taken this, okay, they haven't, but yes, they definitely took something that was illegal, then BT, it's completely different. But there's none of that. I don't even understand why they're sitting out of the game for 12 months.
You got a quick take on that, Joey? Do you think?
Yeah, it's a tough one, isn't it? It's a complex issue, and I mean that the commissioner going to have to make a call, and it's going to be unpleasant either way. But I don't think he deserves to lose the medal anyway. I think he should be keeping it.
I don't think it's unpleasant if he keeps the medal. Which I would be shocked.
Not going to leave a sour taste in anyone's mouth.
Yes,
if he keeps it.
No, absolutely not. What about Olympic athletes?
What would Olympic athletes and work? What would they say about it? So we have a massive crack at the Chinese and Russians.
We have a crack at positive tests.
Jay-Z, this is why people get angry, because you're now insinuating that they've tested positive. You're talking about Chinese swimmers that have had positive tests. We're not talking about Joe Watson having a positive test or admitting that he's taken anything illegal. No one's saying he took anything illegal. It is just purely off doubt. So it's not the same thing.
Circumstantial evidence.
It is not the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, the issue is, if he does lose, and we appreciate your strong thoughts on this, Duck, but if he does lose it, the question then becomes, will he continue to play AFL footy? Now, the talk around footy circles at the moment is, if he does lose the medal, then there's no way he's going to continue in the big league, and I could sort of understand that. Would he go play at old Zverians, where he's got some mates and he played a bit of school stuff? That's the suggestion, you know, just to have a kick with his mates. If he did. But if he does keep the medal, then possibly he could be expected to play at Essendon next year.
All right. Well, we'll move on.
It's an emotive one.
What about Swatter? You got a view on any of this, Swatter? Or are you just going to sit there?
When you're having a strong view, Duck, I'm going to sit back and I concur.
You concur? Do you agree with what I think?
Yeah.
Thank you.
I don't think he should lose it.
Thank you.
No one was agreeing with me when I'm saying you shouldn't hand out the participation medals. Go around looking for an agreeer. with North, you got a question mark over the big three, the old three, Jay-Z, and whether they should play on.
While Duck's on a roll, I want to ask him which of the North Melbourne veterans he thinks should play on next year. And he's a straight shooter, our man. So, yes or no, Duck? Ooh. Drew Petrie play again next year? Jared Waite?
50-50.
Boomer Harvey, your man?
I'm thinking no.
How was his game yesterday?
No, didn't have an impact yesterday, but that's not to suggest he can't have an impact for the rest of the year.
He's tailed off a bit.
He's had a reasonable... I think Boomer's had a pretty good year. He'd be in their top 10 best and fairest. I have no doubt about that.
Does that give you a right to?
That's what I'm saying, BT. That's a question for them. Whether they want to develop guys underneath. Whether all of those questions are going to be asked. In terms of if you're going off just off form and him finishing in the top 10 in the BNF, then you would say, well, you know, maybe.
What do you think, Schwab, about Boomer?
I think the window is closed for the Kangaroos contesting for a premiership in the next couple of years, and I think it's not so much about whether or not these players want to go on. It's more about, for me, it should be more about what the club thinks is in the best interest of this organisation to get themselves into a position again with some regeneration, some new players coming in.
Yes or no, Boomer?
Having said that...
No to all three.
Wow. Oh,
all three.
So Daniel Wells is the last one.
Because the other thing is, Boomer's had a great career. Most games played ever. But is another season of football going to define Boomer Harvey's career? No. Is a season of football for another kid coming through going to be important? Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely.
Yeah, it is. And I agree with that. But you don't just... If they're playing good footy, I don't believe the eighth barrier.
How's the form line now, Brian?
The thing about weight is poor.
They've got to start making some list decisions.
You've summarised that really well, Schwatter. The thing about weight is it's whether he's now getting those sort of injuries that he got at Carlton now, and it's whether they look at weight. I think Petrie definitely. I think Boomer. I agree with what Schwatter said. So there's two. But with weight, they they've got to ask themselves a question. Do we want 12 games out of Jared Waite next year or 14? Or do we say, you know what, nah, let's regenerate Mason Wood, these guys, let's give them as much game time as we can?
The Hawks.
Well, I guess it stems back to our earlier chat, Brian, but are they travelling as well as they would have liked at the moment? Yes, it was an outstanding first quarter, Duck, but the next three quarters, I don't know, they just seem to be a bit of a question mark. Well, I'm wondering whether you think they're...
Hang on.
They're on top.
Like they're on top. They've lost four games for the year. They've lost one of their last 10. I reckon they're going pretty well.
What I think it shows to me is they've got gears. They're still a team that are just ticking off the wins because that's all you got to do this time of year, and they've got another gear that they can go to when they need it.
They're bored, Jay-Z.
Yeah,
they're bored. Just let's get through the next couple of weeks, and then you know what? Seven other teams, just bring it. We're ready. We're waiting.
That's where it's at.
What happens if they lose on Friday night?
Doesn't matter.
Nothing.
It's
they lost to the West Coast Eagles in similar circumstances late last year.
The final.
The final, and then came back the other week, the following week, 2 weeks I should say, and then just absolutely destroyed them, mate. Their loss is not going to do anything.
Their best is the best.
Yep.
Bonampelli and Murphy.
His performance on Friday night, Duck touched on it, was simply extraordinary. Now, they've got a situation where they've got to make a decision on the captaincy. Bob Murphy said that he wants to be the big dog next year.
So why is there a decision to be made then?
Well, is it just automatic? That's the question.
He'll get it. But if Bob Murphy's still... Hang on, I haven't finished. Murphy's still up for it and he can contribute and do what he needs to do, I think Bob Murphy's been a great captain.
He has. He's All-Australian captain last
year. Why do I get the feel, Jay-Z, that when you ask these direct questions that Swatter and myself are almost totally ignored?
Yep.
Secondary. And you're just going for the headline seeker in Joey and Duck. Is it that Duck and I, that Swatter and I don't carry any weight with
That's
our comments? Or?
No, because I asked you about Travis Clark before. He gave a very, very good
Anyway,
answer.
Go on, Duck.
No. What were we talking about?
Is he ready? Is he ready?
Oh, he's ready, and he's proven that this year when he's been the captain. But what I loved about the Bonds game, and what I often talk about when I compare midfielders in our current game, or whether it from yesteryear or today, the difference between an accumulator and a match winner.
Yeah.
And Bonampelli showed that he's a match winner.
Yep. And you're right. Look, Murph will be captain next year, and there's no rush. Bonampelli will be the captain for the next 10 years once Murph's finished, so there's no rush to hand it over just yet.
Giuseppe Mamone down there on the boundary line, of course, freshly engaged, the All-Australian property steward of the Tigers.
I've run into him a couple of times in the Virgin Lounge when the boys have been playing over in Perth and you're flying back on the red eye.
Not short of a word.
He's an interesting character, isn't he? He always comes up and says g'day and asks you about 40 questions.
Yep, he does. A fairly confident sort of operator. Dion Prestia seems to be your weekly sort of thing. Dion and I go back a long way, but you seem to know everything. So tell us what's going on.
I'll tell the listeners
Dion.
What actually happens is we get in here in our pre-show meeting and we all sort of wander in, sort of some on time, some not on time. And BT goes, Jay-Z, now, what are the 20 topics we're going to talk today? And then I give you the topics. And then when actually comes to the time, Zoe, of getting to the topics, BT comes out with these sort of, oh, now you want to throw Dion Prestia under the bus and, you know, blah, blah, blah. So just sort of...
well, what's the latest with him?
Right, here we go. Well, there's some... a lot of debate over whether Richmond should part with pick six for Dion Prestia. Kane Corns, Matthew Lloyd in Today's Age, Scott Lucas, leading player manager, all saying that Richmond should keep the draft pick, pluck a gun youngster like a Jack McRae, or whoever the pick six in this year's draft is, rather than go for six-year midfield veteran Dion Prestia. So that is the decision they've got to make, and I want to canvass you fine gentlemen.
Hang on, I'm going to go first. Number one, he's not a veteran.
No. Oh, isn't it like a... Yeah, he's been in the system for 6 years.
What pick did he go?
He went number 10.
Okay, so he's a first-round pick. He is now ready to make a difference to the footy club, right? So he's gone through the development process, and he's come out the other end, and now he's ready to go. So I would see that he's definitely worth a first-round draft pick. And
pick six.
Yeah, as you described, because you're getting a player that you don't have to... He's almost developed.
You don't have to develop.
He's ready to go. He's ready to win your best and fairest the moment he steps into your club. So you are bypassing all the necessary development work.
I couldn't add anything to that because that's exactly what I think.
I agree. I agree. If I was a list manager and you had...
a 23-year-old who you know is an A-grade midfielder, or you take the risk on an 18-year-old who might be Marcus Bontempelli, yep. but you don't know, I'd take the 23-year-old that you know is going to be an A-grade gun.
Schwatter?
Yep.
Bartel.
Sometimes Schwatter goes to sleep in the corner.
No, I'm doing some homework here, Jay, but I think my colleagues have covered it off really well.
Well, that's the debate, and Matty Lloyd today has a different view, but...
Matty Scarlett, Matty Scarlett didn't give us much on Bartel.
No,
what do you think?
I think Geelong has treated its champions very responsibly. I think there's a position for him next year. I just think Chris Scott has been blunt about the fact that he has to earn his position next year. And if he plays good footy, as he did this year, then he's every chance to play 16 senior games. But there was a headline, you know, sort of VFL or bust or whatever it is. And maybe Jimmy, wasn't wrapped with some of the things that are being said.
I think maybe not some of the things said, because that's, you know, he's been a champion of this footy club, but I think he'll retire.
Really?
Yep.
Well, is he not playing good enough to play next year?
I think he'll retire.
Can you shed any more light on why do you think that would be the case? Because that to me would be a surprise.
If he said, well, how's his year been? Well, he's had a few little... I think he's been okay, though.
No, he has,
but I just, my opinion, I think he will retire.
Is there friction, Duck?
Hey?
Is there friction in the footy club about this?
No, because I think Chris Scott, and you're right, those conversations, Chris Scott has them over the whole course of the year. So they're constantly updated on where they're at and how they think they're going. And those, they're fluid conversations. And I think they would know exactly. So I don't think there's any friction at all. No.
I reckon you'd be surprised, Jay-Z, about the in-house conversations that coach and players have about where they're at.
You mean they're frank?
Well, I reckon they're built up over a period of time. Mm. And so in the end, it's not big news to the player or the coach, is it? Because you've been working on that for 4 years.
Yeah.
There were interesting comments about our colleague, Lingy, on Channel 7 Footy. Lingy basically said that, well, Lingy had an opinion on it, and I think Lingy...
He was critical of the club.
Yeah, I think Lingy, despite what Chris said about Lingy being separated from the club and he's not involved anymore and all of that, I think you'll find that Lingy... talks to those players all of the time.
More than the coach does.
Probably right. So, yeah, but I just get the feeling that this great champion of Geelong Footy Club will retire at the end of this year.
But is this different? Because the ball's in Jimmy's court, because he's got a contract that it's basically his choice that if he wants...
Oh, has he got a contract for next
year? He's triggered a contract to play. So it's in his... He's got a contract. So I think someone like Jimmy Bartel will back himself in to say, you know what, yeah, there might be the threat of playing VFL if I'm not up to form, but I'll back myself in. Mm. And I think if you gave Stevie Johnson that same opportunity last year, he would have said the same thing. You know what? I'll back myself in that I'll be good enough to play seniors. And Stevie Johnson would probably be, if it was their call, which is what I'm saying. But in this situation, if Jimmy Bartel's got a contract, it'll be his call, where the other players, it wasn't necessarily their call.
How much do you think the money plays a part in players playing that extra year too long?
A lot. Because more than not.
Because if...
Jimmy, and I would do the same thing.
Yeah, because if there was a conversation about, okay, look, you've got a year to go, but, you are really sort of 50-50, but you know what? You retire and we'll give you, you'll give you next year's payment.
He's played 19 out of 20 games this year.
And it is significant, you're right, because next year, let's say $400,000 or $500,000 for Jimmy Bartel, he's not going to earn that, you wouldn't think, going anywhere else.
Not
so
the real world.
Not in the real world. No, not many people do. So that's pretty significant money.
So, yeah, so you think it does play a massive part, doesn't it, with players retiring or not?
And I think the player's got the right to stay as long as he possibly can.
If he's got the contract, he does.
Yep. Absolutely. Jay-Z, is there a little floater that you want to do shoot off the bow?
Well, Dusty v. Patrick Dangerfield today, Joey. How do you see that matchup going? Is that something you think that could be direct? Or how would you look to, what do you think will be the midfield strategy with those guys today?
I think Richmond will be happy to have that matchup because they've got nothing to lose. So I think they'll let it go. I think Geelong might be a little bit more cautious that if it's not necessarily heading their way that they might stick someone a bit closer to Dusty.
At Guthrie.
Whether it's a Guthrie or someone to play. But you'd love to see it early and just let the two Bulls go at it.
Who would you back in the midfield shootout?
I'd back them both that 40. Seriously.
Boy, Joey just...
backing them both.
Well, can I not do that?
What's he going to say?
What do you want me to do?
BT's just throwing us all one by one.
Joey, what you see, our man Jay, who's done a great job over the last 2 years for Triple M, he comes in confidently, but over the course of 2 hours, the body language changes dramatically. Very confident to begin with, and as you can look to your left right now, he's underneath the table sucking his thumbs, and his arms and legs are all crossed because Brian has taken the long handle.
They get
to
me, Joey.
Well, I tell you what, coming up on the other side of the break, we have got a give me something. You've got to stay around to hear, because I believe there's some quality stuff in it.
It better be.
Coming from you guys. Time now for a segment that we love, Swatter. Tell me something I don't know. This is where we give the people out there something that they haven't heard on the radio, read in the papers, or seen on the TV, sensed on social media.
Yep.
So it's basically new stuff.
Mm. So you start us, Brian.
Yep. I'll start you off. All right. I'll start you off. I'm going to tell you that the finals this year, that it is my belief that it is confirmed that there will be a final on the Thursday night of the first week of the finals.
So after the bye.
And that will be at the expense of a Sunday game. So it'll be Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Saturday night.
So how would that work for TV? Would that be good? Or?
I think the TV would like the Sunday game, but I think the Thursday works for them as well. But they have already shows midweek, so they're robbing Peter to pay Paul. So they'd like to extend the Sunday. But anyway, that's the way it's going to go. And what it does is, for the second week of the final, it also gives the AFL, and they can do this because of the bye prior, it gives them the flexibility then of not playing games on the Sunday in the first week to be able to position teams wherever they want in that second week on both a Friday and a Saturday.
That'd work well, Joey, wouldn't it?
That's nice. Yeah, not bad. Mm.
Mm. Well, everyone would watch the Thursday night. It'd be a ratings hit. It'd be massive. Yep. Everyone would watch. It'd be the first game of the finals Thursday night. Absolutely perfect.
The networks would probably argue, and I'm not sure what shows on a Thursday night on Channel 7.
Better Homes and Gardens.
They'd argue that there's a show on there that already rates.
I better tape it.
Yeah. Well, that's what they'd argue.
Well, this Thursday night game would rate its socks off compared to whatever you'd get on a Sunday, surely. Is that right?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. But that'd be wrapped.
It's all about news. Like, if you played the game on a Sunday afternoon, let it into news, it means you're going to win the news as well. So there's that to think about. That, but it will be on the Thursday, I'm pretty sure.
Good one, Bryson.
What do you got, Swatter?
Hawthorn, who we saw yesterday, Brian, it's my understanding, came to my attention late last night, that the Hawks are into a uncontracted Richmond player in a big way, and he plays today.
Vickery.
That's just what I'm hearing, in a big way. Oh,
imagine
massive.
If they got Vickery and then
so
turned him into a...
In a David Hale sort of role.
Potentially, yep.
Well, does that...
Classic case of not having to do too much.
Nope.
Just do your bit.
Would slot in nicely. Mm.
It's interesting that, because we wrote about him going to North Melbourne, and a lot of people raise their eyebrows. Oh, why would North Melbourne want Ty Vickery? But as soon as Hawthorn's linked to a player, oh, they can turn him into a star. What a great player. What a great fit that would be.
But they can. You know why?
Why?
Because they're better. And it gets back to, he only has to do a little bit. David Hale probably averaged for his career a goal a game.
He's a great
goal
comparison.
Goal two, yep.
And
yep.
probably averaged 8 possessions a game and 4 marks.
Played his role.
C grader. Right?
That's all you're going to get out of Ty Vickery, and that would be enough for Hawthorn. It's not enough for North Melbourne.
Hmm.
Mm. Yep. Good
next,
one.
Next, Duck.
Who's next?
You are.
No, I haven't got anything.
All right.
Can I ask, what about...
He's got to come up with something.
All right. I'll ask you later.
Shall we?
Well, what? If we've got nothing, we just make it up in here, do we?
No, just think back to your comings together with people during the week. Joey?
I've just gone with a bit of an Olympic flavour, seeing it the Olympics week.
Last night,
the rowing single scull gold medalist, Kim Brennan.
Yes.
Yeah. She has a bit of St Kilda blood running through her veins. Her father, Maxie Crowe, won the 1983 Best and Fairest at St Kilda.
And
so there's a lot of people out there that wouldn't know that.
Very
and
nice.
Essendon player, and I spoke with Maxie down at Lawn in the summer of just gone
did
by.
You?
And,
she was brilliant last night.
And you know what I like about her? I said to her before the race last night, I said to my wife, I said, this girl is strong. She's just strong-minded, strong-willed, and physically strong as well.
Yes, yes, yes.
So you could just tell. She's just a steely type person. Yep. She was never going to lose.
No. Need to be.
Okay. I've gone back through my week. I think
why have you stood up, Brian?
Is that a quick look at the diary?
Why have you stood up?
I think that Eric McKenzie will end up at Fremantle. Zach Dawson won't be offered a contract next year, so they'll get
the big defender.
Eric McKenzie.
Best and fairest,
I believe Ballantyne will go to GWS for a straight swap for McCarthy.
Oh, mate, he's come with a bang, bang. Yeah,
that's not bad, Brian.
Gone from nothing to something.
That's not bad.
Very good. Okay. Hey, if you're an high-profile AFL player who just wanted to slip back into the country sort of low-key, when would you do it? When is sort of the journos and that sort of stuff? When are we
Christmas. Just before Christmas.
No, what, sort of around about this week. Like, pick a day where you would sort of, where the journos aren't hanging out and the cameras aren't at the airport. Friday night, when we're all watching the footy.
Yeah, okay.
I think Michael Hurley may have just
slipped back in,
re-entered the country on Friday night while we're all watching Collingwood versus the Bulldogs. Pretty smart timing, I reckon.
To tell me this, do media outlets have people permanently on the payroll or stationed at airports?
No. You need to tip off first.
You know... You know you're in trouble or something's going on.
When a crew meets you in LA.
When you're running around the tan and someone just bobs out from a bush and starts clicking away and you go, I think something's brewing.
Or when you arrive in New Delhi and there's 45 crews there.
You go, something's going on here.
What did you say to the snapper duck?
I said, surely you've got enough on fire.
Oh boy!
Exactly what I said.
A couple of files there. All right, we're going to get ready for the big one. Let's go around the grounds.
It's a Gold Coast up by 7 points. BT at Etihad Stadium. Get out of the way! I can't see the score. It's the Suns 8-8-56 over the Bombers 7-7.
How many has Lynch got? Because he's in the running for the Coleman.
Yeah, Lynchy's got one goal. One. It's young Peter Wright.
My boy Grimmer
with two goals. Two meter Peter. He's
my boy Grimmer's got 1-1.
Oh,
Grimmer.
What is your fascination with young Sam?
It's weird blokes.
Just a very good player. struggling at the moment.
In all seriousness, Brian, Michael Barlow, your commentary of him when he exploded on the AFL scene, I thought was fantastic. Does he got a future in the AFL, do you reckon?
Yeah, I think he
has. He's done it. Yep. Fremantle. Where would he fit?
How old is he?
28, 29.
He's got a couple of years left, yep.
Where?
Anywhere.
Okay.
Yeah, he's an accumulator.
Joey?
Whoever wants
Saints?
An accumulator.
Hawthorn.
You'll have him.
Hawthorn will probably take him.
Jay-Z, you're done for the afternoon. We're going to say goodbye to you.
I've taken a pounding today. The confidence
just got to know your role.
I'll have 7 days to recover. I'll be back next Sunday.
Look forward to it. Shut up. The footy's on Triple M. Triple M rocks football.